You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we have special guests in the studio. We have Chris and Mary Alice.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We're excited to be here, to be able to talk with everyone. And our good friends, Jim and Lisette, have invited us, and we're really excited. So let's get into this conversation.
Perfect. Chris, you're a natural.
Yeah.
So we have not prepared any questions, but we want to have a conversation. Last week, we brought up a couple that we had dinner with that had gone to, what was it, Niagara-on-the-Lakes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they had done some wine tasting, and we had met them just before they were going to do that. Actually, we had known of them.
Correct.
When we met them, we shared with them the book. Can I pull it out of here?
Mm-hmm.
There?
Yeah.
The book. What is the book? The book is 90 Day Soulmate. 90 Day Soulmate, which is the name of the show, of course, with Lisette.
And Jim.
This is only part that I do well. And Jim.
She does well. She does very well on this. So what we're going to do is we shared last week a little bit about the trip you took up to the wineries. And how you had been dating at the time and wanting to spend a little time together. And we had told you about the wineries we visited and you were going to go there. But as well, you told us a little bit about what you did on your trip.
Yes.
And so we want you to give us a little feedback on what you found was impactful from the book, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we would love to share that. So...
I'm going to interrupt for 1 second. So we are going to maybe.
I like your happiness.
Chris is like ready to go.
Okay, here we go.
Ready to go.
This happened.
So hold on before you're ready to go. So we may start a new trend. We may start wine psychology.
Yes.
A new show called Wine Psychology, which brings to you relationships through the spirit of wine.
Ah, nice.
Nice.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sweetie. Go ahead now.
What so, were you going to say?
Yes, we had sat with Jim and Lisette. We received their book. So then we took off on a drive. It was a 7-hour drive up to Niagara-on-the-Lake, going over into Canada. So during this journey, we had... A journey is really the word that you got to think about because it was quite a journey between the actual travel, the conversation, the book spurred for us a lot of thoughts. And then we just went deeper into all those thoughts. And it was a new relationship for us as we were beginning our dating and moving forward. And so during this trip, we were just talking about the concepts that we were reading in the book, because as we were driving, Mary Alice was reading the book
to you,
to me, and then we would read, and then we would stop and just talk through it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that spurred many other conversations as well. Non-negotiables. We could sit there for a while, because the non-negotiables was such a big thing. So both of us are coming from a background of previous relationship, marriage, that then didn't work out. So now we're in a different place in our life. We're meeting each other. However, in the interim time, while we were single, after our divorces, it spurred a lot of self-reflection. And I'm going to speak for myself. You know, I don't want to project anything onto Mary Alice, but speaking from my own perspective, really reflecting on like what happened in my previous relationship that caused it to fail. What part of that was my responsibility, and what was my previous spouse's responsibility? So then I start reflecting and I start thinking, like, okay, what about me or about my personality caused any problem in the relationship? And then once I identified, like, okay, conversation and being open and understanding, that was maybe an issue for me. So then I started really researching that and thinking, all right, okay, so now I need to learn to be a better communicator, to really be in touch with who I am, what I want, and then how I want to project that to others. So I started taking classes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so yeah.
Oh, wow.
I took an online class in communications.
Oh, okay.
And it was, and I, you know, not to put a plug in, but there was a professor that was from Seattle, you know, and Dawn Liana was her name. And it was all online and just really through email, really. And I learned so much in that class, just reading the material, thinking about how to explore communication and how to really put forth what it is that you're thinking, and to be able to share with the other person, like, okay, this is how I really feel, and I don't know if you're going to be able to accept what I'm going to say in this situation, but this is how I really feel, and so I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you. And I feel like that actually has led to a more productive life.
Yeah, just that's being, what we call vulnerable communication.
Vulnerability.
Which we got from the book, friends.
Correct.
You have to be vulnerable and be real with each other, I think, to get to a place of really being able to be present with each other.
So was there,
absolutely.
Was there like a point in your life where you said, hey, what was happening in the past just isn't working for me anymore, and I need to be able to be vulnerable. I need to be able to share what I'm thinking with my partner and be open and honest, and I wasn't able to do that before, or it was difficult, and now I need to do that because I want this relationship to work.
Well, I think life is evolving. Life is changing every day. And with it, we need to change every day, and we need to bring our significant others along within the change and let them know that this is how I'm feeling now. I mean, because we all are constantly evolving and growing, right? And it's being able to be honest with each other and talk about, you know, those changes.
And I think, you know, what Mary Alice is saying is 100% correct. We do need to have that vulnerability with each other, that open line of communication. And just to throw a little reflection in this, looking back at like my childhood and the way I was raised, in my family, often we didn't share our feelings. Feelings were very much suppressed. So it was hard to overcome that genetic raising that you had, and to really push past that and say, you know what, no, that's not right. We really do need to share our feelings, not just suppress them.
So you broke these traditions. So
exactly.
In the Constellation family, talking about that you become the blood chief in your family because you broke all tradition for, okay, we cannot talk in this topic in the house. We need to respect. And they just start to scare to be honest.
Yes.
And like you said, vulnerable to share your feeling. But now you say, you know what, that is different way to connect.
Correct.
And maybe you found different.
Well, I think we were like in our 50s when we met and started dating, right? So it was like, we didn't want to fool around.
Right.
We wanted to make sure, okay, if we're going to go on this path, we're going to go on this path and be confident that we're on the path together and it's the right path.
Right.
Like, we didn't want to fool around with it. So I think that when I think about the book, 90 Day Soulmate and our drive to Canada, I think my takeaway was when the book is sharing with you, create your list of what you want in your partner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Be really real about this. Who are you and who do you want in your partner?
Right. Mm-hmm. And also understanding that's not a selfish thing.
Right.
No.
That's not a selfish thing.
And we call it the list of non-negotiables, by the way. Mm-hmm. Chris and I call it the list of non-negotiables, and we've often talked to others about the list of non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. And I've shared it with my children, and I've shared it with others. It's so important for you to think, what do I really want in my partner? What do I really want for myself, and what do I really want mm-hmm. in my partner? What are those things? And Chris and I read the book, and then we separately created our list.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then we got together over a glass of wine, maybe 7 weeks in. Might have been 7 weeks.
Yes.
Might have been 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I already knew, by the way, he was going to be a match for me. I already knew after the book. Just saying. And we created our list over a glass of wine. And how wonderful it was when our list were very similar.
Yes.
We had very similar wants on our non-negotiables. And it was like, it was a clink.
Salud. There were more points of connection than not.
Yeah. And also that is important topic, because some people sometimes ask me, they read a book, they found somebody, make out a checklist and say, but this three topic is no match with the person.
Mm. Yeah.
And I say, that's three topic in your list is priority, have a, like the non-negotiable topic.
Yeah.
Yes or no. So you have to be careful because this is non-negotiable. Yeah. It's not applied. Maybe that is not the person for you, but if it's something that is can be,
handled. And I think the book often said it talks about too, like, don't be someone you're not. Mm-hmm. Don't try to be like, I'm going to put something else forward and see if this works and see if this catches somebody.
I call it like a promotion behavior, okay? Right. I am in promotion, I show some part that I really don't.
And I totally get it. Like, you're thinking like, oh, I'm not going to match with that one. I'm not going to match with that one. I got to try to do this, so I'm going to try to do that. But it's not really you. Mm-hmm. I totally related to that. I'm like, don't do that. That's like...
Good. In our book, we do talk about the fraud prints that people go on a date and whether it's a woman or man or whatever the couple is, whatever the partners are, they have high expectations. They want to be the best behavior. They want to be attractive to the other person. Mm-hmm. And so they are who they think they need to be attractive to the other.
Yeah.
Typically, I'll say later on in life, whether that's 30, 40, 50, where you're like, I'm tired of that. I don't want to be what the other person expects me to be, but I want to be myself. You're no longer the fake presentation, but you become who you are more so, and you're being more transparent. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to, and I'm skipping, but I want to go back to non-negotiables. Mm. Was there a non-negotiable, one that you can pick out that said, this is one thing that I want to make sure is in my relationship?
There were like 29 of them. I don't know. I think I had 23 non-negotiables.
Yeah.
What did you have, like 21?
It was a long list, yes.
Non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one, though, that, like, you say, hey, this is the...
Like it didn't work between us, or...?
Or just one that really stood out.
One that stood out that maybe it's a common non-negotiable that you both had that you said, wow, it's key for him, it's key for me.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of matches, honestly.
Correct. There were, like as I said earlier, there were more points that were right on.
Like at least 19.
Between the two of us, yeah, exactly, then that were separate.
Which was so fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we were like, yeah. It was so good.
This works.
But I already knew it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I already felt that it worked.
Right. There are many things that are important to both of us.
Right.
And just coming from our backgrounds, I think communication is at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. It has to be at the top of the list. Because if you can't be open and honest and then truly communicate your feelings to your significant other, the relationship is not going to work.
Yeah.
It's just simply not going to work. So...
And it's hard conversation.
It's a hard conversation at
is.
Times.
Sometimes it's like, I'm all right, I'm going to hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I might not like it.
And I'm going to go away for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to settle myself with it, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Coming from a blended family where we're bringing children involved in the mix.
Correct.
And there's so many emotions going with children. Mm-hmm. You're protective and, you know, reserved and...
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough, but you keep going.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
You push yes. through it.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have to.
But yeah. Having those hard conversations and then just pulling back,
mm-hmm.
kind of reflecting, I need a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay, that really upset me.
Yes. There's been some of those conversations.
That really upset me.
Right.
And I'll talk about this again. But I don't want to talk about it right now, but give me 8 hours and I'll come back.
So what I want to do is I want to break right now. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to talk more about the way we go about having a relationship when we are a little bit more mature,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or we understand the significance and importance,
mm-hmm.
and how maybe difficult it is to have that, I don't want to use the word perfect, but the match for us.
Mm-hmm.
That as we see the complexity of life and how family, how maybe children, how other relationships in the past impact us,
mm-hmm.
how now, with a little bit more insight because we have experience,
mm-hmm.
how finding the person that really matches is really important in our life.
Yes.
When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And Chris and Mary Alice. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And our special guests, Chris and Mary Alice.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
We're back. So we were talking during the break about non-negotiables, but also negotiables.
Mm.
And I'll say, what is negotiable? And you were talking about times of the year when you wanted to get together, maybe with family, and how... At the beginning, it was one way that you thought, and then over time, it may have changed. And so I want to hear that again and explain how something that was maybe very, very important became something that was understood as the other person's preference, and how that kind of melded into how you are as a couple, mm-hmm. with an understanding of each other's preferences.
Mm.
Well said, Jim.
Yeah.
That was well said, friend.
I have no idea what I'm saying at times, but thank you.
Do you want me to talk
great
about that,
lead
or
in.
Do you want to talk about
well,
that?
Well, why don't you start, and I have some thoughts, and then we'll just go into it.
Compliment each other.
So
you
my
look
fam-
good today.
No, all thank right. you. My family gets together every year at Christmas in New York City. I was raised in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
A grandchild of Irish immigrants. So we all celebrate together. My siblings come in, my nieces and nephews. And Chris came the first year we were married in 21,
mm-hmm.
and was like, no, I don't like that. I don't think I want to do that again.
Right. Was that a city versus country thing? Like,
He was raised in the country of Maryland.
Correct. I was. And, you know, I'm not opposed to traveling and being involved in things. But for me, it was just like going into the city. It wasn't a thrill. I didn't really embrace it. I felt, you know, anxious about it. It's dirty. It's, you
careful.
Know, there was, you have
careful.
To be so careful. and respective of those who live there.
So this wasn't there. A Donnie and Marie, like a little bit country, a little bit city type thing.
It wasn't really like that.
No, not at all.
So, it was interesting. Like, I fully respect Mary Alice's position to go there every year. It's tradition. However, as you know, we have come to have conversation and talk through this and understand each other, is that we don't always have to do everything together.
Mm.
And there are things that are important and are tradition that are for each of us. And this is part of really joining two lives together that are full lives. Mm-hmm. Lives that involved other relationships and children and family and upbringing and coming together later in life. And the, like, how do we meld these together? Mm-hmm. Even if one doesn't totally appreciate or want to be fully involved in one certain aspect, but how do we meld this, and how do we come to an understanding of, without hurting the other one's feelings, like, I don't really want to be a part of that.
Right. So,
the
complexity, like we look at people who are in initial relationships and they don't have the extended family, they don't have the past relationship, they don't have the children, and those relationships are difficult enough, especially when they don't find the matching parts. And now you're going through the relationship, and we're going back in time, but learning how to deal with each other when you do have these super complex lives beyond the relationship that integrate with the relationship.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing for our audience is saying that a lot of times people who don't have all these additional variables in their lives think the relationship is so complicated. Now we're looking at a couple here who have even additional complications in the relationship, but they understand the power and strength that a relationship offers when you have a partnership where you have two people that do fit and do match and can support each other, but also know where they need to know where they can give, like take, you know, give and take in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I want to go back and say, bravo to you guys in its super effort, and I want it to be an example of how much effort needs to be put in later on to find that match if you don't have that match early on when life is actually a lot less complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense to
you
guys?
Absolutely. And I would say for us, looking at the situation, so Mary Alice has this is a deep thing for her. It's tradition, it's family, it's her upbringing. There's so much involved with the New York portion of her life, and I appreciate that and I respect it. So I don't necessarily want to share in that trip. However, I don't hinder her from taking that trip. So, you know, I encourage it. I'm there for you. Whatever you're going to do, go take that trip, but just know that, like, I'm supportive.
Yes. Just saying, friends.
It's not a cheap trip. Let's just get it out there on the table.
There's shopping. There's theater.
Right. So it's like, I'm not.
Consequences.
Exactly. There are consequences, and I support that, and I'm like, okay, go and do that.
That's great.
Enjoy the trip. Just know that, like, me as a person, like, I don't really want to partake in that, but I'm not going to hinder you from doing that. And I think that within itself is a huge part in a relationship where you can get to the point where you may not want to do something yourself. However, you will not hinder your partner from enjoying something that is a tradition to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't always have to have everything 100% meshed together. Mm-hmm. But you can be supportive and you can also encourage the other person to continue to do something that they love mm-hmm. without you actually being there.
It took us 3 years to get here, by the way.
Right.
Okay, but exactly. You learned. You have to take a time, but you got it.
But yeah. Here we are, and it continues to happen.
Right.
The trip continues. The family gets together. They have a great time. I'm not there, which is fine.
They all miss him.
Yes. Yeah. However, we do see each other at other times
of
the year.
How missing somebody that never be there? Oh, sorry.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So, but that is a big thing in relationships. As you learn, the give and take. And then as you get older, and also it reflects back to those non-negotiables, where it's like, you know what?
Yep.
I'm at the point in my life where these are the things that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love you dearly. However, this is something that I don't really want to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to take away your joy by saying, please don't go. Mm-hmm. Don't go. Don't leave me. Stay here with me. Why do you need to do that? That's not the case. I want you to go. I want you to enjoy and embrace the time. Enjoy your family.
However, and also, that is a well moment also for yourself. So maybe you can watch your own movies and your own couch.
Right, exactly.
With food, eating, whatever, your own, and do this. So it's just nobody feel bad.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when we come back together after that long weekend, we embrace each other. We talk about the things that happened. We share the good, the bad. Yeah, what did you do? Mm-hmm. What was a great point of the trip and what wasn't? And we share all of these things. And we know that, okay, look, we love each other. We've, you know, we're close together. And we're close enough that we can be apart. Mm-hmm. I think that's important key.
Close enough to be apart.
Close enough that you can be apart and not be worried.
So this started off as... I don't want to go, but I'm going to go with you.
Right.
To
first year.
To not hindering you go, I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. To then the next over time, I'm going to support you going. Mm-hmm. You enjoy the heck out of it.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm going to enjoy the heck out of being here without you. And then when we come together, we're going to enjoy being together even more than any of the previous years of all those slow changes into where we are right now. Mm-hmm. But it's changing and growing over time.
Yes.
But sharing why you have the preference of, quote, I don't want to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when you are there with your family, go ahead, do what you want. Let me know what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you need to get me on the phone, I'll be on the phone with you. Mm-hmm. But for me, the importance is this, and for you, the importance is that.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And I feel like that is exactly it. And we've come to that point where, yes, she would love it if I would come and enjoy that with her. However, she understands that that's not a point of something that's comfortable for me. I don't really want to do that. And so we've come to that understanding and agreement. Yeah. And that's true relationship. Mm-hmm. If you can have that point where you love each other, you understand each
and
other's
you
perspective.
Show that, yeah, respect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it that envelops so many different things. It envelops trust. It envelops, you know, like love, understanding, communication. All of that is enveloped in saying, like, I get where you're at. I tried it. I tried it because I love you and I wanted to be a part of it, you know, and support you in it. And then I decided, like,
you didn't want to see Alicia Keys' new performance.
Oh, Alicia Keys. I'd go with you.
Oh, so good.
Or you could come with me too, Lizette.
There you go.
I don't know. I have to think.
Maybe you just hang out with Chris for a little while.
Yeah, there you go.
We watch a movie.
We kick back. Hey, whatever.
No, but that's something remind me when my first marriage. Mm. So
you were married before?
Oh, well, I not told you before. So we have everyone some kind of the tradition Friday night. So I working with my company, with my group, and he working his company, his group. So Friday you're tired, you go to the bar to drink with your coworkers.
Right.
And I told him, and he said, I do the same. So we are so open to do that, but we have some kind of, I guess, tricky. They say, we share where we are. So if I decide to show up in his place, I show up. Mm-hmm. Or he decide to come into my place mm-hmm. to show up. And we don't agree. We just say, I be in this bar, you be in this bar. Mm. And then maybe at 10 p.m. I saw that, and he's there with a 2 or 3 guy from his company. Mm. Or I be in his side with my group, or maybe alone.
Right.
But that is a way that you can enjoy with your group. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be with your partner, mm-hmm. but you know that everybody is enjoy in different place. Mm-hmm. Maybe sometime Friday we don't see each other also in the home right. At midnight. Yeah. Oh, how was it? Good, how was good? Or sometime he chew up, I chew up. So that is the flexibility mm-hmm. for relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Flexibility.
But part of that is trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, trust is
you,
big.
If you absolutely just say, you know what, and I think when we first got together 15 years ago, it's 15 years, by the way, everyone.
Wow.
15 years. That when we first got together, part of it was like, you do what you need to do and whatever you need to do. And part of me was, I can't worry. I used to worry. Like mm-hmm. in past relationships, it was like you would worry. It's like, I can't worry anymore. I have to mm-hmm. just fully trust mm-hmm. Lizette.
Correct.
I have to.
Correct.
And if somehow she breaks that trust, okay, it's done. But I trust and I'm not worrying, because the worry actually creates sometimes the situations that drives that other person apart. Mm-hmm. When I'm worried, where were you? What was going on? It's like, oh my gosh, why are they questioning me like this? And it can create the atmosphere that pushes the other person apart.
Coming from past relationships, and you know, in my relationship, and I guess if I can just be vulnerable for a minute, you know, in my past relationship, there was infidelity. Mm-hmm. My wife had, you know, chosen a different person and was seeing that person and creating a relationship, and so that creates within you this huge feeling of insecurity and just wanting to know, what is the other person doing at all times? Where are they? What mm-hmm. are they doing? So really then, when you think about that and you think that, okay, now we've moved past that point to where we have that trust, like I can trust, you know, like Mary Alice is going to go to New York and like mm-hmm. she's just there having a great time with mm-hmm. her family. There's no worry mm-hmm. on my end, and no jealousy or insecurity that like I'm going to lose her mm-hmm. to someone else.
Yeah.
Right. And that is an amazing blessing mm-hmm. within itself, to not have that worry mm-hmm. anymore and have that feeling of insecurity, but to be able to fully trust and say, like, you know what, I trust you to go and do this and enjoy this, and I don't have that worry that there's going to be implications that could affect the longevity of our relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that there's a lot to be said for that.
What did you feel about that?
I was like, oh, sweet. Oh. That's how I felt.
Yeah, but yeah. That's why I know that you feel like that he has to be with me. From my family. That's an important point for you.
Oh, gosh, yeah. No, it's really hard. I'm like, okay. I am not going to talk about this anymore. I'll talk about this tomorrow. Ba-boom. I'm like, go on. I was very upset that he would not come.
Yes.
Wow. No. This was a very big deal.
In the beginning.
This was a very big deal. Maybe, making sure everybody knows that was a very big deal.
But how about you teaching your family? That is a new tradition relationship with family. You don't
well,
have to
and
be
I
your...
think they want him to be there. Like mm-hmm. my siblings want him to be there. My children want him to be there. They love him.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think some point in the future, Chris, that you are going
no.
to?
No. I think it's a no, Jim. I think it's a hard no. I've tried.
No. So much so that I said, I'm not going to talk to you about this anymore.
Wow.
No, because I don't want to pressure him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he keeps very strongly saying, no.
That is good, not talking about that. That's the decision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem, but you know what's going to happen? When we come back, we're going to talk about narcissism.
Uh-oh.
And the benefit of narcissism in every relationship. Yeah. When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And our special guests, Chris and Mary Alice.
Here we are.
Today we're talking about all sorts of things. One, we were talking about the book, 90 Day Soulmate a little bit, and how Chris and Mary Alice were using the book in order to put into documentation the love that they had for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Yes.
Right now we're talking about something different, which everyone has a little bit of in their life, which is narcissism. Mm. So, narcissism, why is it good for a relationship?
Narcissism is be confident yourself, because narcissism is a person that don't think in others, it's just yourself.
I'm mutating the definition now for my own narcissistic reasons. For my own reasons. So the problem is that we say narcissism is bad, but then we have all these studies that show how narcissists are most successful. Mm. So is it bad or is it good because it helps you be successful? And I'm trying to say there's a balance. There's a balance of love of self. Mm-hmm. Because they say you have to love yourself before someone else can love you. What do you guys think?
I would agree with that. You do have to know who you are, what you want in life, and you do have to be confident within yourself and love yourself before someone else can see you for who you truly are and accept you and say, that's someone that I would like to spend time with.
Yeah, because you don't want to create like a codependent relationship. I think codependency is when you not focusing on yourself, you're focusing on others' needs first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's
a good point. Mm-hmm. So, on Jim's point about you have to take care of yourself, know yourself, love yourself, and then be able to give to others.
Yes.
So I think that's important.
It is important. So
you can't be too self-focused, though. You have to look out for the needs of others.
You do.
I agree with Lizette. Can't be all about, like, me,
so you
me,
need to be
me.
Balanced.
Mm-hmm. You need to be balanced.
Balance. And that's what's really key here, is to have that balance and understand that, yes, I know who I am, and I'm confident in that, and I know what I want. However, I also understand and recognize the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that those are real and they need to be respected, and I need to fully embrace and understand that need. And then whatever part I can play in supporting or uplifting that need, as far as I can extend, then I can do that. You may not always be able to completely fulfill the wants, desires, needs of another person, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. That doesn't mean you love that person any less.
Mm-hmm.
It just means I can't be 100% what you need. I understand where you're at. I'm going to support you, love you, and work with you to get to that point where that you feel you need to be. But I might not be able to completely fulfill that need. And if I do, I'm not being honest to myself. Exactly. And so then I'm being fake in the relationship. So you have to just be real and say, this is who I am, and this is where I am, and I understand where you're at, and we're going to work together to see if I can't support you as much as I possibly can. And then that's how a relationship grows out of that. You know, that raw, real relationship.
And working together.
Correct.
Because it's not easy. So this path is not easy. And I guess that you need to have a target to achieve, because you're not thinking, okay, we are together, but we don't know what happened. No, you need to work in it. I believe in continuous improvement, you know?
So you
have to improve, you have to work in hard and enjoy the path.
But I'll never change.
That's another joke.
Different joke. So something I like taking terminology, because people use a term and they make it a bad term. And that's why I wanted to try to take narcissism and not make it so derogatory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at narcissism with altruism or altruistic behaviors or empathy, that you can be confident in yourself, you can respect yourself, you can actually like yourself and your qualities if you also are altruistic. I will give of myself to someone else without any expectation of return.
Correct.
Number one, I will actually feel the pain they're going through, take it on myself, and see how maybe I can help them remove the problem or pain that they're feeling, or at least maybe just understand it. And so a lot of these terms in isolation are bad, but as part of a personality, part of the complex psyche that we all have, they're not really bad, because they do denote a certain dimension. But we're not singularly dimensioned people. We're multi-dimensioned. Not that we're in the fourth dimension. We're in the future and the past. But we are that too.
Yeah.
After many
That's another
years.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
It's another show.
So going back to narcissism, it's used a lot as a negative aspect of people. And again,
typically always.
There's positive parts to it, that if you look at your reflection and despise yourself, you're not going to be helpful to anyone. But if you look at your reflection and said, hey, you know what? I've got a pretty good self-image. I meet with my own expectations. Then you have good self-esteem. You got good confidence. And then maybe that when you know who you are, and guess what? That was part of this book, right? Who
exactly.
You are, what you want, what you're missing in your life, and how you can maybe have that relationship that fills some of those gaps that you want in a relationship. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know who you are, and you don't like who you are, it's really hard to form those long-term relationships, whether with a loving partner or just a friend.
Correct.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
No, really, found who you are is not easy. And we have many, sometimes we do some seminar.
Yeah,
and
we
put the people aside, put the paper and say, please write who you are. And the people, I am woman or man, or I am doctor or engineer. Mm-hmm. That's not who
years
you
old.
Are.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
it's something more deep, and it's not easy. So we don't have in the school any course that explain who you are, what you really want in the life. So that is the point that many people can be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old and don't know who is.
Correct.
Or what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
right.
The next,
right.
You know,
which is in the book.
Right.
Yeah.
So
what do you really want? Soul
right.
search.
Correct.
So,
what is it you're looking for?
That's tough. And so that's why we offer some subjects. Like we talk about, I'll throw this out there, religiously or spiritually, what do you believe?
Yeah.
From a family value standpoint,
values. Yeah.
What do you think is a good type of family structure? Educationally, what do you think is, like, where are you educationally? Where do you want to be educationally? Where do you want your partner to be educationally, culturally?
Mm-hmm.
And we try to put categories.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Categories.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
try to put categories around these things, because if you just say, "Who are you?"
It's
such a giant whatever you would call that. It's just like such a, it's an unknown term. Who are you? How do I define it? I don't know. The definition is so big and broad that by putting a category, who are you in these categories, it makes someone be able to focus. And maybe they can focus on who their family was, who their culture was or is. Who, you know, what is their religious background? What is their social background? What is their belief background?
Yes.
And they start getting into that. And when you are able to focus somebody on these categories, it's more easy for them to fill that out. So going back to who are you, having the list that's in the book of who are you, it helps guide you to fill those out. Are you looking for what page and what chapter?
No, I just want to say they talking about chapter A. For me, it's the more important, and chapter A is so number for this couple is important.
That's so, very important.
Yes. Do you remember chapter A? Let me see the title.
Our ancestors.
Okay, so exactly. What did you learn in this chapter?
So, in thinking about that, and this is something I touched on earlier, when you're growing up, you are, let's just say, indoctrinated with the beliefs of your parents and your relatives, how you were raised. So as we are, when we're young, we absorb all that and we begin to base our who we are off of our parents' beliefs, which is inherent to them from their parents and so forth and so on.
It's family
it all
program.
Grows. So then you have to get to that point where you stop and you look at it and you say, wait a second, do I really agree with all of this? Is this really what I want for my life? Is this what I want to
emulate
and portray to my children, you know,
or do it's in your hand right now.
Correct.
And I think both of us realized looking at the book when we were talking that both of us had parents that were like not 100% emotional,
not a lot
of affection. So that was interesting because my recollection was, not a lot of affection. And so was Chris's.
Correct.
So we were like, oh, okay, that's cool.
So, and then we want to be careful that we don't swing the pendulum
the other way.
Too far the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be balanced and you want to show your children that it's okay to be that emotional
vulnerable
and vulnerable,
honest,
and you know, and to show
committed,
that attention,
forgiving,
and affection and you know, all of these things, you know, that make us a decent human being.
I think the book on our way to Canada helped us dive into all of that. Like we dove into, okay, how were we raised? What were our parents like? And similarities that we had. And then we talked about the conversation of the decades. What was your favorite best memory, 1 to 10?
Right.
Favorite, like most or most significant memory, I think is how we phrased it. Not necessarily best, because some of the memories were like hard memories.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And because we were meeting each other at 50, I felt like I missed a lot of his life. I wanted to learn all I could about his life. All the good stuff. Give me all the nitty gritty from like 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50. You know, what was that all about?
Right. And
when it was awesome.
When you delve deep like that,
that
just, again, speaks to that vulnerability, to being open, to being honest, and being and saying to yourself, like, okay, no matter what I reveal in this moment, this person is not going to walk away from me.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to be open and understanding and still love me for the person that they first were attracted to. Because this is me.
That's the way to go, friends.
This
go that way, go that way, go that way.
This is who I am. This is real. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So ending this show, and thank you so much, Chris and Mary Alice, for being on today's show. The you guys are perfect, if you'd say poster what is it called, post a presentation of the benefit of utilizing book like this, mm-hmm. or other things, like mm-hmm. you said, the decade, the
yes,
what conversation, was,
conversation
of the,
decade. Yeah. That yeah. we and really, as we talked to you before, is we don't care what you use mm-hmm. to learn more about each other, but to learn more about mm-hmm. each other, learn more about your past patterns and programs, and determine how do you want to change together as a couple. And you become new. You become new in each other. It's like mm-hmm. almost a rebirth. It's the ability to have a new beginning in a new relationship that's extremely different because you come from it, you come to it, should I say, right. from mm-hmm. a standpoint of knowledge, understanding,
and experience,
mm-hmm. and want, because mm-hmm. there's a deep want to have a soulful, soul-connected relationship mm-hmm. that maybe you missed out on before.
Yes.
And you guys are a great example of that. Mm. And we
also,
really thank you.
So sometimes we think if we met when we have 25 years old,
right,
we never work.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you said that oftentimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we need to stay right now after 30 mm-hmm. or 40 or 50. And then we appreciate. So
yeah.
we need mm-hmm. to also say thank you for all partners supporting our lives before, because make who
well
we are right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every relationship step mm-hmm. is building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it builds and you just create more character and more facets to your life that you can then share with someone else and say, this is really me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's,
at this point, maybe take a time, but we are here. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you guys for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.